In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us unite in prayer and thanksgiving. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we have gathered around Thy holy and blessed Word, we simply plead, dear Father, feed and nourish us, and grant unto us that comfort and instruction that Thou seest that we need. Dear Father, strengthen our faith and grant unto us that heart of Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, to serve Thee all of our days. We thank You, dear Father, for all Thy blessings that Thou hast granted unto us. And we pray as Thy Son has taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll pause this evening briefly around the precious word of our Heavenly Father, where His beloved Son, our Lord Jesus, was granting unto us and giving unto us of His encouragement. And these words are found from the 12th chapter of Luke, from its 32nd verse. And these words are in Jesus' name as follow. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Some of you were able to experience the joy and the blessing of our summer services this summer there in Western Canada, where indeed we were fed and nourished very graciously by our Heavenly Father. But oftentimes we experience in our own life our own weakness, our poorness, our lack of knowledge and wisdom, our sinfulness, feel the pull and the power of the enemy of the soul, where he's taunting and tempting, and so often our own sin, corrupt flesh overtakes us. And the shadow of the darkened world oftentimes reaches very near unto us. Jesus oftentimes encouraged the believers and the unbelievers. And so He is doing even here in this portion. And it was a time when, if you read from the beginning of the 12th chapter, it says that there were gathered together innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon the other. It was so that oftentimes, and almost always, there was a multitude of people around our Lord Jesus. People had a hunger to hear that very comforting word of the gospel, as He taught and instructed and encouraged and on our church calendar that reminds us this Sunday I don't have it before me, but it goes in this way, of truthhood or falsehood. When you think about it, at the beginning of the world, when God created mankind, man dwelt in paradise, in bliss, in joy, in peace, and they were engulfed by the righteousness of God. They were one with God. And into that midst, then sin came, and it destroyed all of that. But God, our Heavenly Father, comforted them and instructed them. And they desired to listen and heed that word of our Heavenly Father. It's important for us too this evening, this small flock that's gathered here, and those of you who may be listening there, maybe in a far off place. It is true that our Heavenly Father desires to give unto you His kingdom. We, children of God, enjoy of this righteousness of the kingdom of God and that gift of righteousness that has been gifted unto us. Sin destroyed that in the beginning, and nothing has changed. Satan wants to destroy the joy of the children of God. But our Lord Jesus continues to encourage and to comfort and uplift and to instruct, exactly as He did some 2,000 years ago. But now the voice of this Good Shepherd is heard through the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father. And that's why we've gathered even here this evening, simply to hear what God has to say unto us through the Holy Spirit. God often instructed and encouraged those servants of the Word to open thy mouth, and I will fill it. It is God who gives of His abundance unto us. Fear not, little flock. You know, the elders that are gathered here this evening have experienced great changes in the world. I know one who is sitting here as a young child helped his father till the soil with horses. There was no electricity in the home, no running water. God has blessed us abundantly. Now when we go home tonight, we flick a button and we have lights, and we turn a spigot and we have water, and we turn a thermostat down and air conditioning cools our living area. We live in a time of convenience. One could say a time of ease compared to how our forefathers lived. And they also experienced many changes in society, in this land that we live. It wasn't that many years ago in this country were most of the states, I don't know if it was all, but I know most of them had laws on the books. Even about hunting and fishing, it was against the law to do so on Sunday. The stores were not opened. They were closed on Sunday. Sometimes you found a little gas station that was open. That was even in my lifetime. It was a time when even the citizens of our land knew right and wrong. Today, even the highest courts of our land rule totally against the Holy Bible and what God's Word says unto us. We live in a time where the moral decay is so prevalent, and sin is proclaimed right, and right is wrong, and up is down, and down is up. There was a time in the land of Israel when it was good times. People were abundantly blessed, very much as we are. And then the hand of God came into that midst of that nation, and warring armies came and took the rulers and people captive far away. And the people rebelled against, and so they came back and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, its temple, and took the people into bondage. Trials are nothing new. They have been with us from the beginning. Difficulty and sorrow and affliction. It is nothing more than a trying of our faith. They are with us today. At any given time when we gather here, there are those who are battling sorrow, affliction, trials of life, doubts, heavy battles against the enemy of the soul, wounded through sin. And that is why Jesus reminds us, "Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God desires to grant His kingdom unto every person. He desires to help and to teach, to instruct, comfort, and uplift His own, we His children. When those children of God were held in bondage, God sent them a message through the prophet. And it was a wonderful message. And in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, it says here in the 11th verse, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end," or to give you a future with hope. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." God hears our prayers, and it is important that we pray unto Him, for we are so little, we are so insignificant in ourselves. We are with so little understanding and so little wisdom. That is why Jesus oftentimes reminded us to be as little children. The Apostle Peter even went further than that, and he said that to be as newborn babies, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that we could grow thereby. And it says here, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Same teaching that Jesus, hundreds of years later, taught. Knock and it will be answered. Seek and ye shall find. And so on. Even in this 12th chapter of Luke, it reminds us in this 31st verse, which I didn't read, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus had just been instructing them about the cares of life, the temporal bread and clothes and those things that we need to live. He reminded them, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's important, dear brother and sister, that we daily seek our Heavenly Father. That is the beginning point unto us. And to have faith and trust upon Him and His Word. He desires unto us a future with hope. This is the kind of Heavenly Father we have. You know, when the children of Israel were coming toward that Mount Sinai, the writer unto the Hebrews writes about it in this way. I'll read that. Where, again in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, 18th verse, it says in this way, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched a mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Dear brother and sister, we need not ever approach that Mount Sinai. And it says here, and encourages us, and he says that, but ye are come unto the Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels here in God's kingdom. You know, when we think of, oftentimes think of God's kingdom, and it is a small flock, and those texts, gospel texts for this Sunday, of which our brother read this morning one of them, but all three of those gospel texts in the 3-year rotation are from that 7th chapter of Matthew, where it speaks of that straight gate and that narrow way, and reminds us, and broad is the way for the vast multitude of people on which they journey, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the pride of life, and all manner of sin. You know, when the prodigal son left the father's home in that parable that Jesus taught, it says that he went to a far country, and there he wasted his inheritance in riotous living. His older brother, who later was accusing the father, he told the father that, "Why is not this fatted lamb made for me, that he lived a life with harlots, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, a life in the gutters of this world?" And so we have, on the one hand, a son who went to a far country and denied living faith. And on the other hand, we have the elder son who, in the very fields around the home of the father, ventured off into the self-righteousness of this world. "But a year come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels." Yes, it is a small flock here, the children of God in this kingdom of our heavenly Father here upon this earth. And yet, here it reminds us it's an innumerable company of angels. Or even as John, when he was able to see that vision of heaven, and he says, and after this, in the seventh chapter, the ninth verse, he says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." He saw a vision of heaven. And it was so vast and so beautiful that one could not begin to number the children of God that dwell there in the glory of heaven. And many of our loved ones in recent times have gone there. Recently, somebody was visiting at the nursing home, and he encouraged those elders there in this way. He said, "But there are better days ahead." Yes, we have that living hope. And we can say that to every child of God. Yes, we have better days ahead. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" In that 13th verse. And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said unto me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Again, ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. And he says here, unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And then he says here, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved." Yes, our brother spoke of it this morning. That kingdom which is built on that chief cornerstone, our Lord and Savior Jesus. And the storms of this world and of Satan cannot overcome it. No. God has protected this holy city, this new Jerusalem. And when we remain in that place of a child, simply desiring to believe, we are safe and secure here in God's kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to give unto you his kingdom. And he says, concludes here, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This is very important. You know, there was once a man that ran up to Jesus and he asked him this question. He said, Lord, what work can I do here in God's kingdom? It's a nice question. You know what Jesus told him? He says, believe upon him whom the Father has sent. That's all. And when we do this, and God instills in us the miracle of this, that we have received that gift of living faith. We want to give this unto others. Oftentimes we pine away and we worry about those loved ones in unbelief. And yet even here we are reminded, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous one availeth much. God hears those prayers. And so we pray that God would grant unto them that grace, that they would realize where they are. Stuck, mired down in the sin of unbelief. Fear not, little flock. And so Jesus wishes to encourage us. No matter how difficult the trials may be that beset us, the afflictions, the sorrows, even spiritual storms which may overtake God's kingdom, or that fierce battle that you may personally be having right at this moment with the enemy of the soul, we have nothing to fear when we simply believe with the heart of a child, desiring to believe, desiring to cling to this gift of faith that has been granted unto us. The Bible even reminds us that he even goes into the depths of hell. Yes, this is the kind of living heavenly Father we have. We have nothing to fear. We are a people of hope and of joy. The psalm writer has written, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. He experienced this, which you and I experience. And he later wrote that how the sound of salvation and rejoicing is heard from the tabernacle of God. Yes. Faith is such a simple thing, and yet, to so many, that living faith is so difficult. When Moses was writing in Deuteronomy, what God instructed him to write in that 30th chapter, the 19th verse, he said that, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. and that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. It is very simple. God has set before all humanity a blessing or a curse. You know, life today is very complicated. One goes to the universities and studies, and this is good. But one can begin to study the philosophies and the religions of this world, and man and Satan has been busy endeavoring to build those stairways to heaven. Very complicated. And yet, there is either a blessing or a curse. Our Heavenly Father has prepared only one way unto salvation, through the merit work of our Lord Jesus. And we are those blessed of our Heavenly Father, of which Jesus will say on that last day, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit eternal life." Jesus, and he taught us how on that last day then the lambs are separated from the goats. Life is simplified. It is no longer complex. There is either a blessing or a curse, life or death. Eternal life in heaven or eternal death and damnation. In the pain and the sorrow of everlasting damnation. And so we can be assured even this evening. Jesus speaks unto us, "Fear not, little flock." It doesn't matter what's going on around in the world around us, the politics of the day, the immorality and lifestyle that is contrary to God's word. We are safe and secure here in his kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so remain believing that gospel message, of which the Apostle Paul even said, "I came not unto you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the power and the message of the gospel, that you can believe, all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood." And I also need to hear this gospel, that can I believe my many sins and doubts also forgiven. I certainly desire to believe with you. And dear brother and sister, we have much reason to rejoice and to be joyful. Your name, our names, are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have the everlasting hope of heaven just before us. Yes, better days that are so near now to us. We just need to endeavor for this day, and so believe. Sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And so we say in Jesus' name, Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift us his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.